I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Covering the Cleveland Cavaliers and whether or not he's feeling more confident about the Cavaliers' chances after LeBron put up 46 last night and a 197 win. Jason Lloyd joins us from The Athletic. Jason, hello.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, nothing much. Okay, how you feeling about the Cavs right now? Because Lima and I came in today and we're like, yeah, they won, but Indiana didn't go away.
The way I wrote it was LeBron is all alone in the deep end, treading water with his legs and trying to pull a tugboat with one arm. He's got nothing around him. And, you know, I mean, it shouldn't be much of a surprise. I wrote before the series started that this is going to be the most challenging postseason of his career since he entered championship mode, since he, you know, became a guy who could compete for championships every year. And he knows it. He knows what he's up against. He knows that this is the least talented team that he's had since he's been back. It's not much of a secret. And I think it wears on him. And I think you could see that during game one. And, you know, I mean, that locker room last night for a team that just won a playoff game, there's a lot of scowls and a lot of long faces leaving the locker room.
All right, Jason, I should ask because I did say that I think I did not do a good enough job at least talking about what an epic performance that was by LeBron. Where do you put 46 points on 17 of 24 from the field with 12 rebounds? Where do you put that in his all-time playoff performance list? I know there's a ton to choose from.
Yeah, they're all run together at this point. He's, I mean, what a catalog he's got to pick from where, you know, I don't know. You know, the stage matters when you're talking postseason, the fact it's first round and not finals. To me, that game when he was in Miami at Boston, you know, his first year there, or maybe it was his second, you know, his first year there, face elimination, that's pretty high up there as well. You know, obviously with some of the performances that he's had here, you know, game seven of the finals, of course. I don't know. They all ran together at this point, and he was fantastic last night for the first 6 minutes. And, you know, the way that he tells it, you know, Ty had been imploring him really since game one that, listen, these guys don't know. They don't know the way. You have to show them. And I contend, and LeBron kind of admitted this last night, I contend that in game one, I think he kind of laid back and thought, let's see what they can do. Let's see what we got here. Because, you know, he'd been saying leading into the postseason, I don't know. You know, we don't know what this team can do. And I think he wanted to take game one as just sort of a, let's see what they can do. And he got an answer that I don't think he liked very much. And then you saw him attacking, obviously, a lot more last night. And the way that he approaches it is, you know, they run a play and it works well. So they run something similar again, and it keeps working. So they keep doing it over and over again. That he never really enters with the mindset of, okay, I'm going to dominate the first 6 minutes of the game and stake us to this big lead. It's just kind of the way that the game unfolded. But certainly his aggression played into that, and him looking to attack the basket instead of sitting back and saying, okay, let's see what all these other guys can do.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at Jason Lloyd NBA. What's Kevin Love's status? Is it official he's going to be good to go on in Game 3 on Friday, and how good can he be then?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when he was getting dressed last night, he kind of, the thumb, he kind of was like keeping it, it looked like he was just favoring a little bit, where it was just kind of extended and out, and you could just, you know, when you bang your thumb, you hurt your thumb, you're protective of it so you don't bang it again. That's just kind of how he was carrying himself or acting last night. But, you know, he told us after the game x-rays were negative and he thinks he's going to be good to go, so I have no reason to doubt that he will be good to go. And in terms of if it hurts him or not, or, you know, how it impacts him, we'll just have to wait and see. You know, if he catches it wrong or gets it banged again, yeah, I could see where maybe it flares up on him. But, you know, as of now, they're just calling it a jam, and they say he'll be ready to go.
Can he turn it up and be that number two that LeBron needs to carry them through this series?
the thing about Kevin as a number two is he can't create his own shot. And there's nobody on this team other than LeBron who creates their own shot. And that's where, you know, not to keep dredging up the past, but that's where Kyrie was so effective. And having a second guy who could go get you a bucket and could create his own shot. So Kevin is going to be reliant on LeBron or whoever else to get him to get him good looks. And that's, you know, that's difficult, as you would like to have a second guy who can go get you a bucket when you need it. And they just don't have that right now. Now, having said that, I think Kevin can be, and I was expecting him to be very, very good in this series, and he just hasn't been offensively. And, you know, he's a guy that's entire career said that he works best when he gets a couple post touches first, then he kind of works back from there. And in game one, he never went inside. And I think there was some frustration with the organization that he didn't make himself more of a presence inside in game one, where they felt like there were some mismatches he could have taken advantage of and didn't. And last night, he did a little bit more. He got inside a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, he's got to play better. He's got to shoot the ball better. He's got to make open threes. He's got to be, you know, I was saying it before, you got to have a knockdown shooter in the corner. And him and Kyle Korver are that guy on this team as much as anybody. So as long as he's struggling to make his shot, they're going to have a hard time putting Indiana away.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the hotline. His final thoughts, always must read on The Athletic after every single game. Which team, after last night's game, is more confident going forward in this series?
Indiana, I think. You know, to be without Victor for the entire first quarter, basically, and to have LeBron just absolutely maul you for the first 6 minutes of the game, and everybody makes a run in the NBA, everybody comes back, big leads go away, we all know that. But, you know, there's a couple games in the finals here where the Cavs got out to a hot start on the Warriors, and they just rolled them. And you didn't see that last night. And for Indiana, for all of that went wrong in the first quarter for Indiana, for them to have a wide-open three on a blown coverage by either Kyle or JR, for Victor to have a wide-open three to tie the game in the last 30 seconds, if I'm the Pacers, I feel really good about leaving Cleveland 1-1 in the series, going home for two, knowing that you beat them once and you very easily could have they could have them in an 0-2 deficit right now going back to Indiana. So, like I said, for the Cavs to win a playoff game last night, you couldn't really tell by the players leaving the locker room and even some of the coaches leaving the locker room. You couldn't really tell which team was the winning team and which team was the losing team. The Pacers were leaving the court smiling and high-fiving each other, and the Cavs were leaving sort of growling.
What do you think of Ty Lue's lineups?
I liked it. I like putting the shooters on the floor.
I'm nervous to ask you that because I know that you and I have talked about Ty Lue before, and sometimes I wonder if I'm a little too hard on him. And I know that he's trying to figure some things out, and maybe it's just the talent, because the game one lineups, those were panned, and then this one looked a lot better. So I have to ask you about what you might feel he might do in game three as well.
Well, here's the thing about, and everyone thinks I'm a Ty apologist, and that's fine. I don't care, because I think it is absurd the amount of criticism that he takes. I think it's asinine. The Cavs don't have a very talented roster. That's not his fault. If you want to blame someone, blame the owner for trading Kyrie for a draft pick. Like, that's not Ty's fault. The Cavs have a roster of quarters. They don't have any dollars. They got $1. They got LeBron. They got a lot of quarters. Four quarters doesn't equal a dollar. So it doesn't matter how you mix and match quarters. They're still quarters. And that's the, and you know, when you talk about turning over the roster midway through the season, we talk about all the injuries this team's had. They haven't had a chance to work on any other rotations and lineups. It's been a constant conga line of bodies. So I did a quick glance at this last night, but I haven't totally researched out because I wanted to write something on it. I don't think that lineup that started last night played 1 minute together all year. Not 1 minute. And people who want to bash Ty would go, oh my God, how can you play a lineup? How can you start a lineup in game two of the playoffs that didn't play together all year? It's because they didn't get a chance to, because they've been hurt all year, because they turned over the roster in the middle of the season. Like, these are things out of his control. And for people to just constantly say, oh, his lineups suck, his rotations suck, they don't have a good one. Why is that so hard for people to see? When you have a roster of quarters and you don't have any other dollars, this is what you get.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the hotline. So, no, it looks like Kyle Korver is going to be starting, at least for the foreseeable future. Kevin Love, if healthy, is going to start. What is the ceiling of a team defensively that starts Kyle Korver and Kevin Love?
Well, it's you know, here's the thing about Kevin. I said this last night. Kevin, to me, if he's guarding a guy in the post and they just throw the ball, to whoever he's guarding in the post, I'll take my chances with him defensively. Kevin's biggest problem is in the pick and roll. Now, it just so happens that the pick and roll is one of the most popular plays in the NBA. And that's where he runs into trouble. But one-on-one defensively and him guarding somebody in the post, I think he does all right for himself. I think he takes an unfair knock there. It's when you get him moving, when you have to get him on the run in pick and rolls is where he runs into trouble. But having said that, the Cavs have never been a great defensive team. They've always outshot their mistakes every year. Now, they've improved dramatically. If you look at the numbers last year, you know, they were terrible in defensive rating throughout the regular season last year. And then the playoffs, they improved that tremendously. And that's sort of been their MO since LeBron came back. But this has always been a team that outshot its mistakes. Always. And there was a lot of people that were upset with the way that they defended last night. A lot of people within the organization that, you know, they didn't like that Indiana shot 52, 53%. The bottom line is they still held Indiana under 100 two games in a row, and the Cavs should have enough offensively to win those games. So is it a problem when you start Kevin and Kyle together? Yeah, it is. But this is, like I said, this has always been a team that's outshot its mistakes. And the fact that they are getting nothing from a lot of guys. Jeff Green has been a ghost in this series. Jordan Clarkson's disappointed me. I thought he would really play well in the series, and he hasn't. Rodney Hood, George Hill, so many guys are just, they're getting nothing out of these guys. And that, to me, is more of a problem than starting Kyle and Kevin together. They've got to get something from somebody besides 23.
How far right now do you think they're going in the postseason?
I'm not dodging the question. I've answered that the same exact way from before the playoffs started. They could lose in the first round. They could go to the finals. I have no idea. There's no way to gauge. They could gut this out. They could make it through this round, and they could advance. And I could, you know, they could make the finals. I wouldn't be all that surprised. They could be done in a week, and I wouldn't be surprised either. The thing of it is, to me, LeBron knows they don't have a team that can win a championship. He knows it. He's not going to say it, but he knows that they cannot win a championship. And if you want a history lesson, when you go back to 2015, his first year back, after they lost, when he lost Kevin and Kyrie in the finals, and he said basically afterwards, when you get all the way to the end and then you lose, it makes you question whether or not it was all worth it. And, you know, sometimes I think I'd rather just not even make the playoffs than go all the way to the end and then lose. Well, I think he thought the last 2 years, like, you know, they had a team that could compete. And I don't think he believes that this year. And you just wonder, is it really worth it to him to drag this team all the way to the finals again, only to lose, only to have people throw his finals record in his face again? I'm curious. Now, could they make the finals? Sure, I think they can make it. I don't think they have any chance of winning it.
Jason, we thank you very much for the
time.
Hey,
one more thing, Jay. Are the Cavs paying attention to that Kawhi Leonard situation at all?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. One more time.
Are the Cavs paying attention at all right now to that Kawhi Leonard situation in San Antonio?
I think everybody in the league is paying attention to that. You know, Kawhi, what Paul's going to do in OKC. You know, the Cavs, as much as I've just been banging on them for the last 15 minutes, they do have an opportunity to fix this. And I know you guys probably got to run, but they do have an opportunity to maybe fix this. If LeBron really wants to stay, if he wants to call Paul George and say, come here, come with me, and I'll get you there. You know, they will have some options this summer maybe to make a big move. But as of right now, it's a roster of quarters in a league where you need dollars to win championships.
All right. Now I got to ask one more here. Okay? You're going to kill me. John Wall. Eh? Eh? Washington's been, they're playing poorly. They all hate each other. You saw it.
That's true. You know what? I haven't thought about that one. I've been focused on Kawhi and Paul, and I'd have to think about John because I haven't really given that any thought.
All right.
You're right. They do hate each other, and they haven't played well. So that would be an interesting situation to watch.
Yeah, Dan Gilbert is not afraid to spend money, buddy.
Yeah, he's spending $20 million for George Hill next year.
Well, here's the thing.
$17 million for Tristan.
He's paying $50 million in luxury taxes on a team that can't win a championship. And, you know, never say never. You know, leave it to me to say they can't win a championship and then something ridiculous happens.
Just say he'll jump in the lake. You really don't have to jump in the lake.
That's the way it goes, yeah.
You can always go back on jumping in the lake, Jason. Just say it.
Well, but you know what I'm saying. They're so far over the cap. They're a repeat offender now. Mm-hmm. So the tax bill is just going to get worse and worse and worse when you're in repeat offender status. He's paying $50 million in taxes on a team that, unless heaven and earth align, is not going to win a championship. And I just wonder how much longer he's willing to do that. Now, if you're talking about, again, bringing in a dollar player like we're talking about, that's a different conversation, I guess. But, you know, at some point, the pen's going to run out of the ink when you're paying all this money for a team that can't win a championship. So, it's going to depend on who's available and the type of player that we're talking about here. Because, you know, you've seen instances the past couple of years where we can do this move, but we have to make that move to try and balance out the books a little bit, where that was never the case before. And I'm not blaming him for that, because that is a lot of money that we're talking about here. And on a team that's not going to win.
Jason, we thank you very much for the time. We do appreciate it, and we'll make sure to read you on The Athletic as well.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Jason Lloyd joining us on the show. I'm sorry, I had to ask him about, if we're going to start doing that thing, I got to ask a little bit about John Wall. Don't kill me for the John Wall.
No, okay? I'm not going to kill you at all. In fact,
you know what? I'll say it right now. For I have a theory, and I'll just say it right now. No better way to get back at your former teammate to take on his old rival and have him come with your basketball team. I'm just pointing it out.
We all going to change our mind on the Wall versus Kyrie debate? We get Wall.
Yeah, more than likely. What were you going to say? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, but anyway, I thought it was interesting. I mean, Jason says, I think what a lot of people fear, that not only does Indiana have more confidence going forward, even after a loss in this series, going forward, but also that he says LeBron knows this team can't win a championship. And that quote, that was an actual quote by LeBron a few years ago where he said, man, when you get to the finals and you lose, it makes you think about whether or not it would have been better just not to get there at all. And that is a comment that people are going to drum up as they become even more massive underdogs throughout the rest of these playoffs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.